I told you last Wednesday night that I'm doing a series called Success is Not an Accident. And this is part two, planning for success. What we know about success, or we know, I guess I should say, that success is obeying God and doing His will for our lives. You know, a lot of people call this success or that success or the other success, but really, real success is choosing to do what God has for us to do. Whether it's in the pulpit ministry or whether it is in the ministry in the workplace, it's all ministry, okay? And then you work in the church. Now, let's realize that you choose every day to do things that will help you achieve success. You know, let's look at Joshua 1:8. This is sort of one of our scriptures that's sort of our foundation, Joshua 1:8. I'm letting everybody turn there. I see my wife's got it in her regular Bible, and then she's getting it on her smartphone. She likes to do that because she likes to look at the different translations. I see some other people doing the same thing. All right, here we go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, I like to read from different translations sometimes, and the Voice translation says, "Let the words from the book of the law always be on your lips. Meditate on them night, day and night, so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success." Now, I want you to notice there it says, you will prosper and always find success if you do what it says. Now, Joshua experienced success in leading the children of Israel into the promised land and conquering the promised land. You know, some people need to realize that if you're doing what the will of God, obeying God as He has directed you, and you're doing what He's telling you to do, then God considers that success whether anybody else does or not. That's what God considers success. Now, you know, success doesn't happen by accident. Of course, that's the title of the whole series. You know, it's something that you plan for. A life coach by the name of Tommy Newberry says, success is a planned outcome, not an accident. Success and mediocrity are both absolutely predictable because they follow the natural, immutable law of sowing and reaping. You know, we need to realize that being successful takes planning. Okay? You don't attain real biblical success like you do, you know, winning something, you know, like, I don't know, you know, they sell these tickets. Sometimes these high schools and things will sell tickets to help raise some funds for some of their sports teams and stuff. And, you know, well, it's just a chance that you might win, you know, and usually you don't mind doing it because usually it's you, your grandson or your kids that are doing it. So you're going to give the money anyway. So you might as well have a chance to get something for it. But it's not that way with God. Okay. God didn't intend for us to go through life just hoping maybe we'll be successful. You know, I'll talk about me because I know you don't want me to talk about you. But I didn't get here to where I am now without some planning by God. And, you know, and then part of it was that when I realized and finally realized that God wanted me to go in the ministry, well, I did some planning about going to school, you know. And then when, and my parents, I mean, you know, back before that, they had done some planning for me. And then when I got married, well, then my wife and I, we realized that God wanted us in the ministry. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we did some planning. And, you know, so now I didn't plan to go in the military, but I had to go in the military. But, you know, God used that to help me to be where I am today. And then, of course, I worked with my in-laws, you know, as an associate pastor. And then I came and worked here for Dad. All of that contributed to my success. Now, here's what I want to get across to you. Everything you do, it can contribute or hinder your success, depending if you learn from it. Well, now, when I was working with my father-in-law as associate pastor, I never built any, you know, I took wood shop in high school, and I can build a stool, and I can build a wooden trash can, and I can get on a lathe and make a bowl, you know, on a lathe in a wood shop. But I never built no classrooms. I never built, and working for him for that 6 years, I learned about you know, building walls and sheetrock and pouring concrete and all kinds of things. You know, I learned it, you know. I mean, my dad had told me when I was young, he said, son, if it's worth doing right. Don't do it at all. So I got in there and learned. But man, did it ever come in handy when we started this campus in 1976 in that first building over there. I'm the one in there building walls and taking up carpet and doing all sorts of things. Me and one other person, you know. But you see, what I'm trying to say to you is don't ever despise where you're at. Because it is a learning experience towards your success. You know, sometimes people learn things in the business world and then they come to work for a church or our ministry or something. I mean, we've had numerous of people like our sound man, Ben Young. He is a graduate of FOSEL, the best down in Florida. It's in Florida. It's the best audio and video school that there is. In fact, that's where Disney gets all of their techs from. Well, you know, that experience, that learning helps him to be able to do what we need here in the ministry. So you may, I want to be in the ministry. Well, hey, learn something and it may help you when you get there. You know, I mean, understand what I'm trying to say. So find out what God's plan is for your success. Now, I want to read here from the Message Bible from John 3:27. John 3:27. This is John the Baptist talking. And it said, John answered, it is not possible for a person to succeed. I'm talking about eternal success without heaven's help. That means if you're going to be successful, you're going to need God's help. No life outside of God's plan can truly be called success. The most important thing about planning for success is to first find out what God wants you to do. I wanted nothing to do with the ministry, and I was going 120 miles an hour the opposite direction. You know, now I was Christian. I was living, you know, but I wasn't getting anywhere near ministry. And it took him quite a while to finally got it over to me. Now, once I found out his plan that he wanted for me, then I could start to make some plans to follow in that. You know, Doug Jones quit a factory job and came to Rhema in 1974. Never realizing where he would be today, All he knew is that God told him to go to Bible school. That's all he knew. So once he got that plan, he headed that direction. Hello. You know, Tony Cook sitting here. He was my associate for 19 years, I guess it was. And he never intended to go, but the Lord told him to leave and go do some things. But he started making some plans to leave and go there. And look at the books and the things and what all he's done. When he left here, I can tell you he had no idea he was going to do all that. Right, Tony? Am I right about that? But you had the plan. God said, but when he started following the plan, he made some plans himself. Okay, I'm going to leave. I'll go out. I'll start speaking. That's what the Lord told him to do. But then as he started following that plan, then God began to bring more plan. The problem with some of you, you're not even following the plan he's got for you. So how can he bring you anything else? Come on now. This is just some good, solid teaching. You know, that's what I try to do here on Wednesday night is just be like a father talking to his family, you know, because that's who we are. We are the family. Jeremiah 29:11 in NLT says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Of course, we all know that. You quote it all the time. The Message Bible says, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you a future to give you the future you hope for." And then the Contemporary English says, "I will bless you with a future fulfilled with hope, a future of success, not suffering." You know what? God has better plans than we could ever make for ourselves. Actually, God has better plans than we probably deserve. God planned for your success. He intends for you to prosper, be successful. He planned for your redemption. He planned to give us an instruction book called the Bible. He's the great planner. Everything he does is not spontaneous. It appears that way since we don't see it. See, God planned the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But in Acts 2, it says, "And suddenly there came." But wait a minute. It was suddenly to them coming. But if you remember, Jesus had already told the disciples before he ever died and was buried in resurrection. He said, "There's another comforter coming." He told, it was already in the works. It was already in the plans. See, but they didn't get it. Sometimes we don't get it either, I think. You know, think about it. God has awesome plans. God's redemptive plan of provision at Calvary is his plan for us. God's great and precious promises are part of his plan for us. God's supernatural power are part of his plan for us. God's divine purpose is part of his plan for our lives. You know, sometimes we need to start listening to God. Now, he won't do what we parents do sometimes. Have you ever had to get your son by the shoulders and say, "Listen to me"? Anybody got a son? You ever had to do that? I didn't do it with my daughter, but I did with my son. I said, "Listen to me." I think God needs to grab some of you by the shoulder and say, "Listen to me." But he don't do it that way. He simply leads you by a small voice. He urges you, so forth and so on. Now, you know, if you start listening to God, you'll find out what his plan is. Now, my dad didn't achieve the success that he finally got without planning. You know, most of you only saw him then. But, man, when he first started, when God first started dealing with him, he was pastoring that church down there in Van, Texas, my first, second, and then even into the middle of my third grade year, I saw him do a lot of praying, spending hours in the church praying. And once he got the plan, then he started out with it. Now, let me tell you something. Once he started the plan, there was everything in the world that come along that tried to derail us. I mean, we, you know, if you've heard him preach and teach, some of you've heard him talk about, he wasn't on the bottom of the barrel. We wasn't on the bottom of the barrel. We was under the barrel. How many ever heard him say that? I know many of you have heard him preach and say that. But you know what? He kept going with the plan that God had. See, the plan, you know, Smith Wigglesworth says this in his Ever Increasing Faith. If you've never read any Ever Increasing Faith, they got it in the bookstore. You need to get it and read it. How many of you have read Ever Increasing Faith? All right, keep your hands up. If the people that hadn't read it need to read it, I want you to wave vigorously like this. You see all these people? I didn't tell them ahead of time we're going to do this. They're saying it from their own. I realize that it was written many, many, many years ago, but man, it is stacked full of good stuff. Okay? He said, the plan of God is so marvelous that if you'll only believe, all things are possible. Now, what is planning? Thinking, developing, designing, scheduling for the success you desire. Joshua 1:8. Let's go back to it again. This book of the law shall not depart from you, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. You see, meditate. Think, ponder, mutter. That's what meditate means. The word of God. Obey those plans once you find the plans. Notice that planning for success requires you to think. Think about the promises of God. Think about how he's moving in your life and start making plans accordingly. You know, when you start making plans for your life, you know, it would be nice if you'd ask him for knowledge and wisdom. Now, Proverbs 8:11-12 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions." That's the original King James. God will show you ideas and witty things to do that nobody else will think about. You know, planning wisely with God, you know, it's very necessary. You know, anytime this whole campus, anytime you can ask Lynette, anytime we've started to build a building, make changes, whatever, we always, even though we're planning, we ask for wisdom. And then once we get the plan done, we ask for wisdom to implement the plan. Come on now. Anybody get anything out of this? See, planning is necessary for success, but we need to plan according to God's plan. If we plan according to God's plan, then that gives us a direction to plan. See, God's not going to come down here and plan it for you. He's going to give it to you, and then you're going to have to plan how he's going to give him what he wants you to do. Then you're going to have to plan how to accomplish it. Hello. Now, as we plan, we need to realize that we need God's ability, his power to give us the ability to do what we need to do. Now, we need to look at God's priorities when we're getting ready to plan for our success. You see, the priorities, some things need to be done they're more important to do than this over here. What is the priority? Set the priorities right. See, just don't. Some people, I've watched them, they just jump around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody? I saw two hands. And they never have actually accomplished a very much. But you can set and see that if they would have prioritized and moved in a scheduled fashion, they probably would have accomplished a whole lot. As it was, they just accomplished a little bit because they're jumping around. Come on now. Don't set out on me. See? My dad used to say first things first. First things first. You know, I mean, even in college or even in high school, before you take some courses, you have to take another course, right? Well, sometimes with God, before you get to here, you got to go here. If you go read there after the prophet Elijah over, he and the Lord told him to go here and to go there and go there, you know. And it wasn't when he went to all the places, the Lord told him to go to this brook, and the Lord fed him there. Well, what if he said, well, I don't want to go that one, I want to go over here. Guess what? There wouldn't have been no food over there. Okay. You see, if you're going to be successful in life, God has to be number one in your life. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All right. Now, as we begin to look at this, you need to go back up and read all of the scriptures up above that. Anybody know what those scriptures up there were talking about? Up above 6:33? They're talking about clothes and houses and land and food and all that stuff. Am I not right? Huh? Now, I want you to notice something here. If you make God number one in your life, you don't even have to believe for these. What the Bible say? What's it say? Then, and all these things you shall believe for. Huh? Added. Why are they added to? Because you're making God number one in your life and you're following his plan. Come on. You know, the reason he wants it to be number one in your life, because that allows him to work freely. He does not move in and work unless you've given him the green light. He may want to help you, but as long as you're saying, I can do this job all by myself, he's just going to stand by. That's what happens most of the time. People try to do it, try to do it, try to do it, boom, in their own strength, in their own planning. And then finally they go to God and he has to come in and clean up their mess and then move them on down the road. Come on. You know, sometimes we have, in the ministerial association, we have people that come to us, you know, and they come to us after everything is done. And then about all we can do is damage control, help them with damage control. Whereas if they had come to us to start with, we could have walked them through the situation. But do you know that's how we are in our humanity? We won't try to do it ourselves. You know, sometimes you know, I'm trying to do something, and Lynette would come over and, no, can I? And actually, if I let her help me, it would have been a whole lot better. Now, see, I've been married 52 years. I know better. But some of you guys need to learn. How many of you guys have learned that if, when the wife comes and wants to help, it's probably a good thing to let her try to help you? Because sometimes she may have. Do you realize sometimes in planning, somebody else may come in with a little bit better idea on how to get the job done? You know, God always has a better idea. Your success is actually a result of a series of choices that you make in the planning stage. Wrong choices cause you not to succeed. Right choices causes you to lead you to success. You know, we hear it just about every day on the sports, and when they have the news, some guy, he's used performance enhancing drugs to help him be better. But when he gets caught, it stops their career or sometimes hinders it very drastically. Hello. Proper planning and making a series of the right choices puts you in the right place. Now, planning for success according to God's plan takes faith on our part. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to believe. Planning for success involves believing that God's plan for your life will be able to come to pass. You know, anything less than God's plan is not true success. You know, Oral Roberts had said, I don't know, I just know that it said this, that he had a little sign on his desk that says, make no little plans here. My dad always told me, he said, son, if you're going to set goals, set them high. Because he said, if you set them low and you reach them all, you hadn't accomplished nothing. But if you set them high and you reach most of them, you've done something. He used to tell me that all the time. See, we need to realize that our plans most of the time are too small compared to God. Hello? Hey, when he told us to start Rhema, man, my plan was if we have 50 students, we have 58 that first year. And we were so excited. Well, if we have 50, 75 students, it'll be great. Well, it has exceeded that by a long shot. But you see, my plan was too small. But I just kept following God. Somebody said, man, how did you have a 10-year plan or 20-year plan for all the Rhemas that's all over? I said, no, I didn't even have 1-year plan. I just had a plan to start it. And we did. And then I said, well, we'll do another year. And we did. We've been doing it for 42 years now, I think it is. How many years we've been doing it? 44 years. Okay, thank you, Ted. 44 years now. But you see, what I want to say is, see, now in that, there was planning all the time. I had to keep planning. I had to keep planning. I had to keep planning. I mean, what we're doing now could not, what I did on that first year couldn't even operate the thing. But that was the plan for that first year. How many understand what I'm saying to you? See, what I'm trying to say to you is you go through life with God, you have to keep replanning and replanning and revamping. And we need to get back and realize that it says, that the Bible says there's a season for everything. Sometimes some of you got to realize, well, this is the season I'm going through. Come on. And sometimes the seasons ain't very much fun. But it's a season. Right now, it's hurricane season, and it's not much fun. Well, isn't that right? If you go stay, they say from this date to this date is hurricane season. And if you know anything about weather, I used to maybe when I was a kid, in eighth grade, I thought about being a weatherman. And it's actually the way the stuff comes off of the tropics there, out there, coming off the coast of Africa, and then they develop those tropical depressions, and that's what causes it all. If you're not from Oklahoma, come March, you better get ready for tornado season, right? And that's, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about get ready to tell the tornadoes to go somewhere else. We start, man, the minute they start saying it, we start believing, don't we? We ain't around here. In fact, Rich will tell you, one of those that hit, it was several years ago, but it was a 5 that hit over there in Oklahoma City, and it was coming right down Interstate 44, right for Tulsa. Me and Rich and Craig were at the ballparks with the boys. They were playing, his boys and Craig's boys were playing ball, and they got everybody to say, go home, it's going to be bad, take cover, so forth and so on. And man, we all started rebuking the thing. And the weatherman, this is many years ago now because the boys are all grown. But the weatherman said that when it got to the outskirts of Tulsa, the storm split and went around the city and came back together and kept going. And the weatherman said, man, we got some people praying in Tulsa. How many of y'all remember that? If you remember the weatherman, how many remember that? There's Rich sitting back there. He can tell you, man, we were out there. The sky was black. It was bad. But, hey, you know the season, so you just, I mean, Miss Lynette, she prays the rain away for rockets over rainbow. Amen. You know, it's great for us to plan. But we need to plan according to God's plan. I'm not telling you not to plan. I'm telling you to plan according to God's plan. Now, he won't give you every little detail. He told us to start the school. Okay. He didn't tell me what to teach. He didn't tell me when to start the school and when to close it. He didn't tell me any of that. He just said start the school. So, now I have to do some planning. What are we going to teach? Oh, I don't know. We just get up there and open our mouth. Well, that ain't going to work. Somebody said, well, we just have a Holy Ghost time. Well, that ain't going to work either, because that's not what school is for. Thank God we have a Holy Ghost time, but school, Bible school, is to come and to learn the things of God so you can go out and do whatever God has you do. Amen. Hello. Amen. You know. So I said, okay, we're gonna start. Okay. All right, what am I gonna do? Well, I got my handbook for my Bible college, my Bible. 8.5 by 11, one of them yellow pads. And started to work. Okay, we'll have this class, and we'll have this class, and this will be from, we'll start this class at 8, and it'll go, you know, and I put together that schedule, what it was going to be. Doug Jones was in there, in that class. And he can tell you, because he's teaching in here now, he can tell you that it's a long way from what it was back in that first, but we planned for that because that's where we were. This is where we are now, but we have planned it all the way through. Although God said do the school, we have to do the planning. God may tell you some things to do, but you got to do the planning. Hello. You know, to build a little shed in your back. Oh, man, it's 8 o'clock. It's time to quit, isn't it? Build a little shed in your backyard. Don't take a lot of planning. Build this church, it took a bunch of planning. Hello. Between the architect and us finally coming up with the right blueprints, and then Charlie Daniels had to spend a lot of time planning for, you know, the right materials to be here at the right time so all of the subcontractors and everybody could do what they needed to do. It took plans. There's one thing I've learned about planning. Don't rush that stage. You know, think it through thoroughly before you jump. You know, think about the best and worst case scenarios. Okay, if we do this, what can happen here? If we plan to do this, what can happen here? You know, I mean, if you're gonna plan a trip, you just don't jump in the car and say, okay, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. We're just going. We're going to go on a trip. Right? If you're going to go on a trip, there's usually planning. Especially if you got young kids. When we used to drive, we would drive at night so the kids would sleep. Anybody ever done that besides me? It works good. Help you young parents out. If you're going to plan a trip, plan it at night so they'll sleep. You know, now you need to, once you plan, you need to discuss the plans with the people that's involved. And, you know, like for your life, if you're planning your life, get the right education. Some people short-circuit their success because they don't spend enough time learning and education. And then believe God for someone to be your mentor or your teacher. You know, I had my dad and my father-in-law, Brother V.E. Tipton and Kenneth Hagin. And then believe God to connect you with the right people. I feel like that I have had a little success in Doug and Tony and some of these guys that have been here on staff with me for a long time. I feel like I had a little success in helping them to be where they are today. In fact, I got some really nice birthday notes from some people that had been on staff here with me and talking about I wouldn't be where I am today if it hadn't been for you and overlooking my mistakes and so forth and so on. But, you know, make sure that you making the right connection is part of success, being successful. Sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And do you know God? See, there's something that we need to teach on, and it's not a lot of people, a relationship. Do you have a real relationship with God? I mean, you can be born again and be saved, but do you have a relationship with God? You can be a part of a family, but not be in relationship with them. Come on. The idea I'm trying to get across to you tonight is to plan with God to be a success. Now this applies both naturally and spiritually, because God wants us to be successful in both areas of life. If you look at all of the people in the Old Testament, and they were successful in the natural and in the spiritual side. You know, now what would you try to do to succeed in life if he knew that you could not fail? Now, I can't promise you that success that way, but I can tell you one thing. Finding God's plan for your life and planning according to it will greatly help or greatly increase your chances at being successful. Been there, done that. Bought the cap and the T-shirt. See, start making plans to be successful. okay? Believe that you can be successful. Believe you will be successful. Believe that God is helping you by leading you in ever in different directions. You know, God will lead people into moving from one job to another one. But you shouldn't jump from one job to another one unless you know that God is in it. Come on now. I don't know why I said that, but I did, okay? Anybody get anything out of this? I got to quit. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? We've got several other sessions on success, and I'm trusting, because this is the way I write books. I teach it, and then they take it and edit it, and I'm trusting that this will be enough teaching that we'll have, can get a book called Success is Not an Accident. How many of you think that would make a good book for people to have? So praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to take the words that we've said and use them for our benefit as we continue to plan for our success. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice as we continue, because I'm still planning. I'm still planning with God for success. You don't. The only time you should quit planning with God for success is when you leave this world. Up until then, you should still. He said, "Occupy till I come." We need to keep planning. Hallelujah. Hey, listen. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, that's the first step at becoming successful, is finding Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you happen to be here and you need to rededicate your life to God, right here, the ladies here, the men over here, as we're dismissed, you come down here and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, the Holy Spirit, somebody to pray with you about something, for healing or anything, you come to the front right now. Everybody stand, please. Remember all the announcements. Hey, remember Kindle the Flame, get signed up, ladies. I think you get $5 off up until when? When is the deadline for the $5 off? Up to the 15th. So if you sign, you'll get $5 discount. Somebody said, well, that's not very much. Well, it's $5 is $5. Hello? You know, I grew up down there in Dallas area, and Mr. H.L. Hunt, back when I was in high school in the 50s, they wrote it up in the Dallas Morning News about if you had a luncheon appointment with Mr. Hunt, you brought a sack lunch, because he brought a sack lunch from home every day, and he would tell his employees, especially his executive, you want to be successful, he said, you've got leftovers from your. And it was called supper back then. Now y'all call it dinner. And he said, there's no use of going out and spending X amount of dollars for a lunch when you can bring it with you. I'm serious. That's the truth. Maybe that's why he was a rich man. I don't know. Hallelujah. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to be successful because I'm going to follow God's plan. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here. Come believing, come expecting. Remember all the announcements. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, healing, any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. God bless you.